Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome in. It is overtime. 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 6 p.m. tonight. Got plenty to talk about. We'll have someone joining us for the final 2 hours of the show. We'll introduce you to Kevin DiDomenico coming up in just about an hour's time. We're going to get into baseball in just a second. Doc was mentioning that the Nationals lost last night. And after they finally snapped a losing streak, you felt a little better. I mean, literally sitting over there the other day, I had my head in my hands, so frustrated. There's no way they're going to lose 12 in a row, and James Wood made you feel a lot better. And then you go out to Dodger Stadium last night, and Amed Rosario puts you up early, but you weren't able to hold on and win that one. It's a tough one against Clayton Kershaw. Mackenzie Gore wasn't his sharpest self. We'll get into that in just a second. Also want to get into the Washington Commanders as well. Did you think they did enough on the defensive side this year to improve that unit? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I got to start here. I've heard people bring this up, and really the only time I'd heard this mentioned was, I think last year was the first time, but summer kind of sucks. When you get out of school, like when you're still in school, summer's the greatest because you don't have to go to school anymore. But when I'm walking outside today and I'm sweating before I even get to my car, that's not ideal. That's not fun. Summer kind of sucks once you get to this age, once you're working every day. It doesn't matter if it's July or if it's September. Like, get me back to football season. Get me back to cool weather. Get me back to fall. I'll even take a foot of snow. I can't deal with this heat, man. It is so stinking hot outside. It's humid. I feel like I'm going to pass out. JP was ragging on me the other day because I don't drink enough water. Well, that's obviously not going to work in my favor when it's this stinking hot outside. So I need it to cool down. I need whoever's in charge of that to turn the thermostat down a little bit. Can we get it back to a reasonable temperature? Because otherwise, if we lower the temperature about 20 degrees today, I think we'd be perfect. Other than that ridiculous temperature and humidity, I know some people out there at the barbecue battle today on Pennsylvania Avenue. I was considering going by that, but I didn't want to soak through a shirt before I had to do a show. So that was kind of off the plan there. But it's ridiculously hot outside. Hopefully it cools down. If you're outside today, hopefully you're staying cool. Let's get into the baseball real quick. I was talking to Kevin before the show. He'll join us coming up at 4 o'clock. But, you know, usually my nightly routine, if the Nationals are on the road, is I watch the Nats game, usually starting around 7, finishing around 10. And then I watch the Dodgers. Well, kind of get the best of both worlds with that, with the Nats playing the Dodgers. And last night, you know, they go out there, and I almost wondered, and I almost wonder if you do see this as the road trip goes on. You almost wonder if the best thing for this baseball team right now was playing a good team so that naturally you have a little bit more riding on it. You get up to play the Dodgers. You get up to play at Dodger Stadium. Everyone has that. And you get away from D.C., where they just had a ridiculous series against the Padres, where the managers are going at each other. Dave Roberts wasn't managing the game last night because he was suspended for a game. People are throwing at each other, and that Dodgers-Padres series has become the most contentious in baseball over the last couple of years. Instead, now you have the Nationals coming to town, and with all due respect to the Nats, I don't think a single person in L.A. cares that the Nats are in town. They'll go to the game, but they're there to watch the Dodgers. And it was also crazy watching the game last night because I watched the Dodgers so frequently, and it doesn't really matter who they're playing. So it's just like kind of background noise while you're doing other stuff or just late night viewing, whatever it may be. It's different when your team plays them, and I'm thinking along with Mackenzie Gore, I'm like, oh, got to be careful to Ohtani, got to be careful to Betts, got to be careful to Freeman, got to be... Sure enough, you go through nine guys in the lineup that you got to be careful to. That lineup is so stacked. That team is so good. Clayton Kershaw made Brady House look so silly one time, striking out on a curveball. An all-time great left-handed pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, which is a discussion I'd love to have at another time, maybe during the summer. Where does Clayton Kershaw rank among his starting pitcher generation? Because to me, he's number one. For me, watching him and kind of how he's evolved as a pitcher, where when he first came up, he was able to throw a lot harder. And I don't know that he was necessarily blowing guys away like Strasburg was when he made his debut, but he was still throwing mid to upper 90s and then breaking off that nasty Bugs Bunny curveball. He still got that. He doesn't have the mid-90s fastball anymore, but he's still so good. You look at that stretch that he had in the middle of his career. I mean, he was averaging an ERA of like 1.5 year in, year out. It was so incredible. Last night, he gets to within 8, I believe, of 3,000 strikeouts. Really impressive for him. Not the best night for Mackenzie Gore. And frankly, you know, it was early on, you could see that the command wasn't there. And that's been something that he's been a lot better at this season. And when you're struggling with command and you're going up against a really stout Dodgers lineup, you can't afford to give free passes. He gave a bunch of those away last night. He hasn't been striking out as many guys recently, so I'm curious to see if that's going to change as time goes on, but that was something last night that kind of popped up again. But the Nationals fall last night. It's not a shocker when you go on the road to take on the Dodgers, see if they can get one today with Jake Irvin on the hill against Dustin May. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today before we get into the Commanders, just staying on the baseball train, was what I was watching before the Nationals game. And everyone knows that I have some Milwaukee ties, so I was kind of wondering, Jacob Mizorowski was supposed to make his second start at Wrigley Field, but because of a rain delay and then a suspension of a game, he didn't end up making his second start until last night in Minnesota. And holy smokes, this guy looks like the greatest pitcher to ever live through 11 innings in his big league career. So in his first major league start, he went 5 innings and didn't give up a hit and threw, I think, 11 or so pitches over 100 miles an hour. His first pitch in the big leagues was 100 miles an hour, followed up by 102 and 101. And the only reason he got taken out of the game is he rolled his ankle a little bit. And so he went 5 no-hit innings in his debut. He comes out in his second appearance last night against the Minnesota Twins, and he starts 6 perfect innings. 6 perfect. He went 11 innings to start his major league career without giving up a hit. And in the 7th, he finally gives up a hit after he'd walked a batter as well. It was a 2-run home run to Wallner. And so he ends up coming out of the game after that. But he became the first pitcher since 1900, I believe was the stat that I saw. First pitcher since 1900 to have more wins, 2, than hits allowed in his first couple starts. That shouldn't be allowed. That shouldn't be possible. And it's crazy to think about a guy, you know, we get so fired up about a guy here in James Wood who's 6'7" and does stuff that not many people in Major League Baseball can do. Because the only guys that you can think of that are that sort of size, that can do the sort of things that James Wood can do, are Aaron Judge and O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's it. That's the company that he's keeping. Well, think about Jacob Mizorowski, a guy who's 6'7", comes down the mound. I think they were saying on the Brewers broadcast last night that his extension is somewhere around 7 feet. So imagine a guy from 60 feet, 6 inches, 6'7", getting 7 feet down the mound, and by the way, throwing 100. Big league hitters don't look fooled or don't look foolish all that often because, you know, Barry Bonds would always talk about this, and Barry Bonds is obviously a different type of hitter than just about everybody else in the history of baseball. He's special. But he would always talk about, if the catcher can catch it, then I feel like I can hit it because I can at least get my bat on the ball. Well, I don't even know how you catch a ball that's going 102 from a guy that's throwing it from 50 feet away. He's all the way down the mound. When he's finishing onto the infield grass, darn it. He's coming all the way off the mound. That's how tall he is. I don't know how you hit this guy. He's throwing a slider at 95. Now, you can argue it looks more like a cutter and acts more like a cutter, but regardless, he's throwing pitches at 95 mile an hour that are moving like a slider. And there was a pitch last night to Willie Castro, who's been one of the better hitters for the Twins, where he folded him up like a pretzel. I don't know the last time I've seen a big league hitter look like that. On a pitch coming inside, he'd thrown a couple fastballs on the inner half. He backs it up with a slider, 95 cutting in, and that dude had no chance. There's very rare that you look at big league hitters against big league pitching and think, oh, that guy's got no chance. They had no chance against Mizorowski last night. They finally got to him in the seventh, and he gave up the first hit of his big league career. But 11 no-hit innings to start his big league career. Absolutely incredible. All right, let's get into some football. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. The listener lines are open. Did the Commanders do enough to address the defense this offseason? The reason I bring this up, I was listening to Grant and Danny on the drive home, and there was a caller that mentioned that every unit on the defensive side of the ball, in his opinion, is worse going into this year than it was last year, with the exception of the cornerback position. I want to take a look at that. Also want to take a look at the guys that they brought in. They're saying they're going to stop the run. I don't know that I fully buy that. We'll talk about it next. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 6 o'clock. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Kevin DiDomenico going to join me. We'll talk about the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about the Commanders and some baseball as well. Right now, talking with you guys, if you'd like to hop in, 800-636-1067. Talking about the Commanders offseason, do you think that the Commanders did enough to address the defense this offseason? The reason this comes up, Grant and Danny had a caller yesterday that brought up the defensive unit, and they felt like every part of the defense, with the exception of the cornerback position, is worse this year than it was last year. And I think there is some truth to that. And G&D kind of went through the different units, so we'll do that real quick. Like, if you look at defensive end, when you look at what they had last season compared to this season, would you say they're better or worse? I think it's probably more of a wash. Dietrich Wise, Cleveland Farrell returning. You bring in Javon Kinlaw, kind of working as a big end at times, more inside. But overall, when you lose a guy that had 10-plus sacks last year and Dante Fowler, then you're probably a little bit worse there, at least in pass rush terms. Maybe better against the run, but I think overall, they're probably slightly worse, if anything, there. So that's probably just a slight tick down. Interior defensive line, I think they're worse. I don't think there's any way you can argue. Which guy would you rather have? John Allen or Javon Kinlaw? Now, they're going to tell you over there that they would rather have Javon Kinlaw because that's exactly what they did. They moved on from John Allen, and I get the contract situation plays a part of this, age, all those things, injury history. I get all of that. But which player would you rather have, John Allen or Javon Kinlaw? When you think John Allen, you think maybe a little bit disappointing in terms of his career, but you don't think bust, right? You think more disappointing in terms of the contract versus disappointing in terms of where he was drafted. When you think about Javon Kinlaw, and they're drafted in a similar spot in the middle of the first round, you think bust, right? That's kind of the first thing that you're thinking of. You're thinking of a guy that hasn't lived up to the first round billing. So to me, they're worse. Maybe Johnny Newton takes a step forward. Maybe Payne plays better. But I can't count on those things. So to me, they're worse in that unit. Linebacker, I think, is a bit of a wash because Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner were your main linebackers last season. They're back this year. It's going to be largely the same. You're going to see Jordan McGee play a little bit more. He was here last year, but he was injured. So maybe in that sense, you could say even that they're maybe a little bit better. It's not like Michael Walker was something spectacular for this team. Kane Medrano is going to come in and play some. Dominique Hampton. So, okay. I think a wash for linebacker at best. I don't think it's worse by any means, but kind of a wash there. Safety, you look at Quan Martin and Jeremy Chinn last year, going to Quan Martin and Will Harris, I think you'd be thrilled if you get Jeremy Chinn-type production out of Will Harris. I just don't see that happening. He might be really, really good, or he might be really good, but I don't see him necessarily stepping in and playing that Jeremy Chinn role as well as Chinn did. So now you're looking at the cornerback position, where the safeties are a tick down, the edge rushers are a tick down, the defensive tackles to me are definitely down, linebacker's kind of a wash, corner is improved. There's no question about it. Marshawn Lattimore, Noah Igbinoghene in the slots, Mikey Sanristil, Trey Amos, those sorts of guys, like I think you're improved over what you were rolling with last year when you still had Emmanuel Forbes, you were running with Benjamin St. Juice, Michael Davis, those sorts of guys. I think definitively you're better at the cornerback position because even though Lattimore struggled last year, I would take Lattimore over Benjamin St. Juice. I don't think that's a crazy hyperbolic take. I understand he was disappointing for the contract, but I would take Lattimore over him. So in that case, corner is improved. But I think if you look at the defense overall, I don't think it is improved. And the thing about it is, we had Ben Standig on, B. Mitch and Finley, yesterday. I was filling in for B. Mitch. And I was asking him about the run defense. And it really struggled last year. Their run defense was not good last year at all. And you wonder if the moves that they made this offseason are actually going to improve this team against the run. Are they actually going to be able to go out there and get it done against the run? Because you look at the teams in this division, and they want to run the football, specifically the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and Saquon Barkley. They want to run the football. And the guys that you brought in that they've kind of preached to you are going to be able to stop the run generally aren't graded favorably against the run. They're just not. So we'll start with the big money signing, Javon Kinlaw. Throughout his career, he hasn't been great against the run. Last year, his run defense grade from PFF was 50.8, which ranked 116th out of 219 interior defensive linemen. Eddie Goldman, big mammoth dude, 6'4", 332. I actually like this signing because it gives you a true nose tackle, a guy that can line up head over the center, a guy that's just a mammoth guy that just can play inside there and it can give you a potential at some different looks. But even him, his run defense grade last year was 47.5, 141st out of 219 interior defensive linemen. And then Dietrich Wise, I actually think he's going to be good for this team outside against the run, but his grade isn't great last year, 54.8, 152nd out of 211 edge rushers. I think he's been better than that throughout his career against the run. And I don't necessarily take PFF grades as gospel, but it gives you a good idea. And so the big guys that you've brought in to really help out your terrible run defense throughout their careers haven't been great run defenders. So what makes you think that they're going to come in here and somehow change it? And maybe they're looking at it saying we can save a little bit of cash here and we can bring in guys that we think we can coach into the scheme that we want, the role that we want, and make them into guys that can stop the run. But I'm not fully buying it. To me, with this is a, you got to show me before I fully believe that they're just going to suddenly be a good run-stuffing unit. I think that when you look at Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and the way they want to play defense, even going back to Dan Quinn's days in Seattle, what were they known as or what were they known for on that defense? It was more so for the secondary. It was more so for the Legion of Boom, right, where you're Richard Sherman, you got Brandon Browner, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas. They were known for that Legion of Boom in the back end, and they had a guy in Michael Bennett up front, but it's not like you can name their entire defensive line like some of these fronts up front nowadays where you've got just so many studs, or even not that long ago for this team where you had four first-round picks across the defensive line. That clearly didn't work out for Washington then, but I think that if they could have their way, they would love to have an elite pass rusher. They'd love to have an elite three-down guy, but it didn't maybe play out the way that they wanted this offseason. But they decided to bulk up the cornerback room, which I don't fully hate, because maybe their way of feeling like they can stop the run is throwing more resources at it. Now they feel like they can have a guy down in the box, an extra dude, because they feel like they can trust their coverage. Now they feel like they can trust their guys one-on-one a little bit more and creep some guys a little closer to the line. Like, if that's the case, then maybe that'll work out just fine. But in terms of looking at right now, the names that they brought in, these dudes, and saying, oh, for sure, they're going to be better on defense this year because of the guys they brought in. I know some people don't like to hear anything skeptical about Adam Peters, and I understand. Like, generally, what Adam Peters has done in his time here has been very, very good. I'm just questioning this a little bit the same way that I questioned Zach Ertz last year, and that worked out. So he clearly knows what he's doing in some instances and a lot of instances. But to me, this isn't enough to stop the run. Not to say that they won't be able to scheme it, because I actually think that Dan Quinn and company are actually going to be able to figure out a way. Because I was listening, Danny brings this up all the time, and I don't necessarily agree with his philosophy. His philosophy is, I've got to be able to disrupt the passer, and that's my number one focus defensively. And that's a more new age idea. I'm still quite old school in that my number one thing that I got to be able to do is stop the run. Because when I was working in Milwaukee, Green Bay went to the NFC Championship game, and Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners beat them in the NFC Championship game. And I think, I'd have to double check, but I think Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball like 8 times. Might have been 6 times the entire game. Because they couldn't stop the run, and so they just ran and ran and ran and ran. And if you're going to pound someone into oblivion through the run game, then it's a much easier way to beat a team if I never have to put the ball in the air. So I think this team needs to be better against the run this year, because you look at teams that make the playoffs and teams that miss the playoffs, and Washington was kind of an anomaly in terms of how they were able to play the run last year, where they weren't good and they still made the playoffs, versus most teams that play the run well do make the playoffs. But we'll see. They brought in guys. They brought in Kinlaw. They brought in Wise. They brought in Eddie Goldman. They brought back Cleveland Farrell. And they seem to think that they're going to be improved defensively. And I'm not fully buying it. 800-636-1067. Want to get to some of your phone calls on the other side here. Did the Commanders do enough to address their defense for this upcoming season? You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Overtime on The Fan, Toby Altizer with you till 6 o'clock, talking about the Washington Commanders. Did they do enough to address their defense this offseason? 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's get out to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
How's it going, Toby? Thanks for taking my call and put up with me. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, and I was sorry to let go of Fowler. But I think Farrell's, he was a top four pick with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I think he's more playing time. I think he's going to do better. And they did add some more weight in the middle there. They only have draft choices, but I think that's going to be enough. I mean, I'm expecting the playoffs, at least. And, the offense did better, but like you were saying, by the defense, it's the back seven is my concern. Thanks again, and have a nice weekend.
Appreciate the phone call, Mitch. Yeah, I think they definitely improved offensively. There's no question about that with the moves that they made. And if they want to beef up the offense and feel like they can still outscore teams, and maybe they feel like year one to year two with a lot of the same guys in Dan Quinn's scheme that they can improve things, maybe that's the route that they're going. And I also don't hate the idea of look, if we have certain resources year to year, I'm going to make sure that I help out Jaden Daniels by protecting him up front, even if it means that I'm not able to spend as much defensively as I'd like, then that's fine. I get that. Like, when, as soon as you spend picks to go get Laremy Tunsil, I have no issue with that because you're helping out Jaden Daniels. If that meant that we aren't able to then go get the guy defensively that you want, whether it's as an edge rusher or whatever it may be, then fine. I get that. But I think the idea that they're preaching that they're just suddenly going to be better defensively with some of these guys that they've brought in, specifically a guy like a Kinlaw, who I still think they overpaid for. You know, I think JP's done a good job going through and breaking it down that maybe it looks like a little bit more than it actually is in terms of where they're at. I don't know. I still think that my overall thought process on Javon Kinlaw is I'll believe it when I see it. He's a massive human being. So is Eddie Goldman. If their idea is that they're going to improve just by simply being bigger because they're not going to be able to be bullied as much, then that's totally fine. I totally understand that. Because you look at Philadelphia, the way that they want to play football. They are physical at the line of scrimmage. And they're going to bully you. That's how they want to play football. They're going to come into your stadium or you're going to come into the link and they're just going to straight up bully you. That's how they play football. And so if you're Washington, when we're looking at, could you get a little bit faster on the edge? Could you maybe add a premier pass rusher? Could you maybe do some different things? Their thought process was, let's get bigger at the point of attack. And they did that defensively where you bring in some guys that are just massive. I mean, Kinlaw is 6'5", 319. Everyone that talks about how big he is just says he's one of the biggest human beings they've ever seen. And Eddie Goldman, 6'4", 332. That's beef in the middle. There's no question about that. Are they skilled? I don't know. I have no idea. But they're definitely big. And then you look on the flip side, they address the offensive line, which I think when we go back and watch that Super Bowl again, where they just dominated KC's offensive line, that made all the sense in the world. So I don't have an issue with them beefing up the offense and helping out Jaden Daniels and doing all the stuff that they did on that side of the ball. But I don't fully buy the idea that defensively they're just going to be better because they went out and did these things and everything that Adam Peters touches turns into gold. Generally, he's had a really high hit rate early on in his time here. But there are still some questions with draft picks and you know, you look back at the Marshawn Lattimore trade, and we'll see how that turns out. But I'm not fully buying in on this, but I'd love to be wrong like I was about Zach Ertz last season. 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to Josh in Fredericksburg. Josh, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? I actually am on the same page as as with you as far as our depth is going in the defense. But I think, personally, I think we're going to improve our defense by improving our offense because if we can put up points with Jaden at an alarming rate, it kind of dictates what other teams can do against us on offense.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Josh, except for the fact that, I mean, you look at where they were last season and they were a potent offense, one of the best in the league. They could be better, quote-unquote, I think as a team, and not score as many points and maybe not statistically be as good. Last season, they were spectacular. Do we just think that they're going to continue to score ridiculous amounts of points every single week with a little bit harder schedule? Maybe. I understand what his point is, but I kind of think they did that last year. And to think they're going to do it again, I think they could, but I don't necessarily want to depend on that. But if you can keep it in a one-score game, that's something that we talked about last year with this team where they hadn't had in years. There was a belief that if you could keep it to a one-score game and just get the ball into Five's hands, then you can go win the football game. You know, Tyler Biadasz being asked about luck, that quote in the article that we talked about this past week from Sam Fortier, asking him, hey, do you believe in luck? He said, I believe in Five. There's something to that. So defensively, they know they don't have to be perfect. They just know they can't give up ridiculous amounts. They can't get blown out. You can't give up 50 in the NFC Championship game. Can you keep it to 28 because you have confidence that your guy can go up and put out 31? Yeah, absolutely. So I understand his point there, but I don't know that I fully trust that they're going to do it in back-to-back seasons, but they definitely could because you've got the special quarterback. Let's get out to Desmond in Waldorf. Desmond, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on, Tog? Yo, I be listening to y'all, everybody, during the week, man. I'm doing my little errands right now. I'm trying to. But Tog's like, what you talking about, man? It's like you keep asking questions, and then you answer the questions right after you answer the questions, and then you say, but I don't trust that. But you got the answers. It's like you saying literally the only reason you really don't trust it is because you don't want to give Adam Peters the 100% benefit of the doubt.
Well, okay, but hold on.
Answer the questions.
Hold on.
Said we needed room up front. They got that. We're proven veterans. Yeah, they might not have the greatest stats of all time, but you also got to look at one, where they came from, and what were they asked to do in those roles. They may not have been asked to specifically be a run blocker here, so that's probably why they're run blocking stats. If they're playing, you know, how many snaps with 100 snaps and 60-70% of the snaps they're asking to pass block and they're asking them to run block, that's not going to show that they're doing that good. They might be specifically brought here to run block. You know what I'm saying? Like we it may be certain situations where we're playing the Eagles and you see Eddie Goldman and Kinlaw and them the whole game, but it might be a team where we play like, you know, somebody whose offensive line is not as stout, and you see them rotate them in and out with some of our backup players just to keep them, you know what I'm saying, keep the, you know what I'm saying, line fresh and keeping up with the speed. You know what I'm saying? You gotta.
Well, and my only issue, Desmond, is like, I don't think that stopping the run is only about having size up front. Like Albert Haynesworth was big and he sucked, right? Like I don't know that it's just about that.
But at the same time, Josh Allen didn't have size and he sucked. So you can't say that our line hasn't gotten better when Josh Allen was there and he wasn't doing nothing and he doesn't have size.
I think he's better than you're giving him credit for. But he wasn't great.
I loved him when them first couple of years, like you said, I mean, we had that front four. I loved it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it didn't get us nowhere but to that Taylor Heineke spectacular, you know what I'm saying, against Tom Brady. That's as far as that got us. You know what I'm saying? And as time went on, he got older and he didn't get better. He was one of the rare cases where you were first round pick and as you were approaching 30, you're supposed to be getting better. He wasn't. He got worse every year. Payne got good one year and he got paid. I think Payne is on his way out the door. They're gonna give him five or six games to show what he's gonna do and he's out of the door.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, Desmond. Yeah, I think he's right about that with Daron Payne. I think they're going to do the same thing with Payne that they did with Allen, where at the end of the year, they're going to move on, and I think their idea is that Newton and Kinlaw are going to be their two guys in the middle. And I actually think if they can get Kinlaw and develop him into a good run defender, which he hasn't been throughout his career, I actually think that could be a nice tandem where you've got a bigger dude and a smaller dude. Both of them are really good at getting after the quarterback in terms of Kinlaw's a penetrator. I think that Newton's a little more skilled and finesse. He's a little undersized. He's never going to be great against the run, in my opinion, but he's going to be able to get after the passer. I think that sort of duo might work just fine, but I think that's their plan. I just don't – just getting somebody big doesn't necessarily fix your run defense. You still got to have some skill, and I don't know. I'm still pretty down on the Kinlaw signing, but I wasn't – all that fired up for Zach Ertz last year either, and look at the year that he had. Now, it's a little bit different. Zach Ertz was coming in, and I was thinking that he was just going to be a nice veteran presence and help out the team. They're going to depend on Kinlaw a lot. He is going to have to be a big part of the defense for the amount of money they paid him. I don't know. We'll see. I was wrong about Zach Ertz last year. I was wrong about some other guys. Hopefully, I'm wrong about Javon Kinlaw. 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in and talk about the defense. Did the Commanders do enough to address it this offseason? Also want to talk about the wide receiver core. There was a ranking put out by Pro Football Focus ranking the wide receiver core. What do we think of where the Commanders were ranked? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 6 o'clock. Kevin DiDomenico going to join me coming up at 4 o'clock. Going to get into some baseball discussion, also some of the NBA finals. He'll introduce himself coming up at 4 o'clock. He'll be with me for the remainder of the show at that point. We're talking about the defense. I want to transition to talk about the offensive side of the football. PFF put out a ranking for wide receiver corps throughout the NFL, and Washington comes in ranked outside the top 10, but not far. Philadelphia is the number one unit. You've got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I think that makes sense. Tampa Bay is number two. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan. You add in Emeka Egbuka. It's a pretty good receiving core. It's interesting because number three is Cincinnati, and I think you could make the argument that they have the best duo. Ja'Marr Chase is probably the best receiver in football, even though I would take Justin Jefferson. What he did last season was spectacular. So you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, both those guys back. So much is going to ride on them, by the way. When you pay both those guys and you're still having the issues with Shamar Stewart, you're still having the issues with Trey Hendrickson, so much is going to ride on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But I think they're clearly top five. Lions, number four, Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams. I guess they're counting the tight ends in here and the running backs because Sam Laporta's talked about, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. Number five is San Francisco. Now, San Francisco being this high is interesting because you're including Christian McCaffrey, who was injured for a majority of last season. George Kittle's really good. Brandon Ayuk is really good. But Ricky Pearsall hasn't proved himself. They lost Debo, who's here now, obviously. So we'll see how they do. Six is Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, a really, really good pair. I'm excited to see how Ty Felton does there. Maryland Terrapin out there with J.J. McCarthy. Could be an interesting one. T.J. Hockenson, really, really good tight end. Miami Dolphins at seven. We'll skip past a couple of these. Eight is the Rams, nine Bears, 10 Texans, 11 Falcons, 12 Ravens. And then that's where you find Washington, number 13 on this list. And I think that's about right. You know, you look at Terry McLaurin, who they had ranked, I believe, as their 10th overall receiver in the league. When you look at where they were, they're so good. You know, they've got, when you've got Terry McLaurin right there, I mean, Terry is a top 10 receiver, and there's no doubt about it in my mind. When you look at Debo brought over, where does he fit in? I know I've been cast as being down on Debo. I kind of think he just gives you what he gave you last year, which is totally fine for a fifth-round pick. Now, I don't necessarily believe fully in paying him $20 million, but I think overall you look at the wide receiver core with those top two, you have to believe that this ranking is about right. The question I have then is Zach Ertz, Noah Brown, Austin Eckler, they have them mentioned here. Who steps up outside of the top two receivers to be that guy? Now, it seems like Noah Brown, from reports that we saw on Twitter yesterday, is doing okay. He was doing a football camp, I believe, and people saw him out there, and he seems like he's okay. So hopefully that's the case. But who's going to step up as that third receiver? Not just necessarily third pass catcher, because I think Zach Ertz is going to fit in there. Obviously, you're going to have Austin Eckler as a part of it. But is Luke McCaffrey going to step into a bigger role? Is he going to actually be a pivotal part of the offense this year? Third-round pick last season. At some point, you're going to need him to step in early on, you would think, because he's a third-rounder. So can he get it going in year two? How about Jalen Lane? That's my kind of slept-on guy going into this year for this offense. I think they're going to use him a lot. Maybe not always in the traditional drop-back passing game, but reverses, screens, stuff that this offense likes to incorporate with Cliff Kingsbury, I think he's going to be a big part of it. So don't sleep on Jalen Lane maybe ended up being that third receiver, even though he's a rookie. Maybe not week one, maybe not in the first 4 to 5 weeks, but as the season goes on, and specifically hopefully on a deep playoff run, I think he could play a big-time role. Let's get out to the phones, 800-636-1067. Ricardo's in Northeast D.C. Ricardo, what's up?
Hey, man, is it Toby? What time? This is the first time I really talked to you. I've heard you on the radio.
Yeah, you got it, Toby.
Toby, okay, my man Toby. Yeah, I want to chime in on the defense a little, and, you know, I'll talk about the offense quickly, too. I'm going to just trust Adam Peters' judgment on whether the defense will be better. I do know, obviously, we needed to improve against the run, so we got some bigger bodies there. I think that's his philosophy with, what is it, Ken Law?
Mm-hmm.
Ken Law, Eddie Goldman, one is like 330. I think they both at least 330. Now, I like Jonathan Allen. Great motor. Of course, he was hurt, had injury issues last year. Great motor, but he's too small for that defensive tackle position at whatever he was. And that showed. I never really understood why they never moved him out to defensive end. I thought he was better suited as a defensive end against the run and the pass, but too light for the defensive tackle. So I think the two bigger boys, let's say this Dietrich Wise guy, I don't know a lot about him, but reading, you know, he should be an upgrade there. I think they're going to scheme a lot. As you said, the defensive backs would be better. This kid we got from Chicago, I've been watching some film on him. As far as a pass rusher, what's the kid's name that we got from Chicago?
Jacob Martin.
Yeah, Jacob Martin. He's quick. You know, he's got some speed and, you know, twitchiness and speed. I think watch out for him. Watch out for Dietrich Wise, and watch out that we're going to be much bigger up front as far as, and let's hope Ken Law and Goldman, you know, Ken Law definitely live up to his potential. He's got talent, no question. This can we get it out of him? Offensively, the third receiver, I guess it's anybody's guess. Let's hope McCaffrey step up, and the kid Jalen Lane, Noah Brown, Gallup. We got some competition there, so I think somebody will step up. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think that by the end of the season, like I was saying, I think Jalen Lane could end up being that guy. But Noah Brown's going to be big because he's huge for this style of offense because of the fact that he's such a good blocker. And, you know, having him out there where you can have Deebo Samuel on one side and you got him over there with Noah Brown and he's going to be the blocker, I think that's huge. He's almost like an extra tight end in terms of how good he is blocking as a receiver on the outside. So having him out there is going to be big because it's going to help so much with this style of offense that Cliff wants to run, where you can just get the ball out there and trust Noah Brown to block his guy, and now it's just on whoever catches the football, whether it's Deebo, whether it's Luke McCaffrey, whether it's Terry, whether it's Jalen Lane, make that first guy miss, but Noah Brown's going to take care of his dude, and all of a sudden you're, you know, one-on-one with the safety, and you can turn this into a bigger play. So that's going to be a big part of this. Take a break. When we come back, we'll introduce you to Kevin DiDomenico, and we'll get into some NBA Finals discussion. Plenty more to come here on Overtime on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.